You have a positive net worth. Congratulations. You have more things that you own, you have than you owe. You now have a personal financial statement together that you can continue to update and track over time, looking at ways that you can get more assets to continue to increase your net worth. And of course, on the other side, continue to decrease your liabilities.
Welcome to the Path to Passive podcast, where we talk about building wealth and empowering lifestyle through commercial real estate investing for tech professionals. I always wish that other tech professionals reaching financial freedom had documented their journey along the way, so I'm doing it for the rest of us. Join as we explore stories, many failures, and lessons learned along the way. I hope you enjoy and subscribe.
In preparation for today's episode, I wanted to find some data so I could set a foundation to get in today's topic. I found a study from credit.com where the sample consisting of 1,028 responses per question with the survey conducted in October 2022, 27% of Americans don't think that they need a budget. The breakdown went like this. 27% thought they don't think it's necessary. 24% don't think they'll stick to it. 10% didn't feel like making one. 15% don't want to feel restricted by a budget. 10% don't know how to get started. And 12 were even afraid to check their bank account. On another study I found conducted by Qualtrics on behalf of Credit Karma, 51% of Americans do not even know how to calculate their net worth. This survey was conducted within the US by Qualtrics on behalf of Credit Karma, March 20th, 2023 to April 3rd. And in the same study, nearly one-third of Americans have a net worth of $0 or less. Of course, as we know as tech professionals, these are just some stats from surveys. But like I said, I wanted to get something to talk about as we get into the main portion of today's episode. The point being, tracking net worth. I first got serious about tracking net worth a couple years ago. It was just about 2022. And it was because I had joined masterminds around apartment investing. It was just something that you had to do and something we were taught to do as the foundations of getting into the program and the courses that I was taking as part of being in the mastermind. Now, if you're like me, maybe you were doing some kind of budgeting before. Of course, it makes enough sense. You want to know how much income you're getting. You know, of course, for many of us, it is what is the salary? What is the total compensation, if you will? And of course, tracking to some degree what your expenses are as well. But I wanted to take it a bit further, and that's why I joined these different groups. And so, like I said, I was doing the different budgeting, but it wasn't until I got into these masterminds and groups that I think about, wow, personal financial statement and tracking net worth is a real metric that I had to keep track of from a much bigger picture instead of just the budgeting itself. So why track net worth anyway? Well, it's a key part of understanding and growing your wealth. It's not one of those things where we have to be crazy tied to our ego of what is our net worth and how does it make us a person of, you know, do we have a lower net worth? Does it make us feel bad or higher? It's a great day. Nothing like that. But just an understanding of what it means to know where our assets and liabilities are. We'll get more into that in the future here, but I just want to set the foundation of why it's so important to track our net worth. So if you're new to the podcast, this is Path to Passive Real Estate Investing for Tech Professionals, the guide for tech professionals that want to invest in real estate, get maximum leverage with their capital to earn income, save on taxes, and build generational wealth. Something I also wanted to mention here is that just because you have a high income, it doesn't mean that we're going to have a high net worth, right? You can have a high income, a six-figure salary for that matter, and you could have expenses that take up most of what you're spending on the month, right? So it leaves you very little that you would have at the very end. Income minus expenses equals our cash flow for that month or that time period. And net worth is pretty much the same thing. So today we're going to be talking about our personal financial statement, or you can think about it as our personal balance sheet. So in today's episode, I'm going to break this down by a couple different steps. I'll just quickly talk about what exactly a balance sheet is and go through a couple steps and how you can make one on your own. And then later on, I have some tools to mention that you can go ahead and do this a lot quicker so you don't have to go through that whole manual process. Now for your balance sheet, it's just a snapshot of your current financial position. It's like having a look at the scale if you stand on that for the start of your day, or it's like looking at the clock and seeing the time at that point in time. The technical definition of the balance sheet is the assets equals liabilities plus equity, especially true in the business context. Of course, the same thing, we're looking at our personal balance sheet as well. So you can imagine someone coming out of college and having taken out a lot of student loans or student debt as the financial liability. This is something that they would now owe. So when you have big loans and what you owe that outweighs your assets or things that you own, then that would be negative. But saying this another way, when you take what you own, these are your assets, minus your liabilities of what you owe, then this is what you get called your net worth. Another visual that you can have here is to think about your favorite systems monitoring software as an example. You might have different data points which are connected in lines, right? Connecting a line between the two or three or however many based on the amount of times we've measured our net worth. And you can see these data points and lines going up and down based on the input and output of those assets and liabilities, whatever the difference is, right? And that line would represent the net worth over time. So let's talk about the balance sheet, starting with the assets. On the asset side, you're going to see things that are going to be ordered in a set for of liquidity, right? Or how easy it is to access the value of that asset. Think about things such as your cash and cash equivalents, right? These are things like your checking accounts, savings accounts, as an example. Other things that you'll find on this side of the assets are things like 401ks, brokerage accounts, retirement accounts, CDs, as an example. You're also going to see things for personal use like home or car or jewelry, art, and musical instruments as well. Each of these, we're going to have some type of value that you can assign. Something to note here is that when you're thinking about the home, then it's going to be the market rate of that current asset value if you would be selling that today. So maybe you bought a home a couple years ago and you got it at, you know, one price and that's what it was valued at that market, but maybe it went up over time. That value went up over time. And so you would have a look and maybe look at your favorite online tools. A couple of them are out there, Zillow, Redfin, etc. Of course, not the most super reliable, but just getting some idea that you can look at right away. Other things you can do there, you know, CMAs, comparative market analysis from maybe a realtor that you might know, doesn't need to be something that, you know, you have to sell, but you can always just get a quick opinion about it. From a car perspective, you know, you can do things like going to look at Kelley Blue Book as an example. And that's the listing. That's the price that you can, the value that you can put next to those cars. Other things might be a little bit more difficult, but, you know, around art, et cetera. But the point is, whatever the valuation of those assets are what you're going to put next to those line items, right? So remember, things on the top are what are going to be most liquid, your cash equivalents, going down the line to brokerage accounts, et cetera, and then other personal assets, home, cars, et cetera, are going to be things that are going to take a little more time to convert into cash or a little bit less liquid. So after you have everything you own listed down and a number related to it, now you have the first half of your balance sheet. You can total all those numbers and you can have your total assets value. So now we're going to focus on the second half, focusing on the liabilities section. Now, on the liability side, we can think about these as things that we owe. Listing things that you can think about in terms of short-term and longer-term liabilities, right? And so what's current or short-term is things that we'd think about as a year or less, right? Things that you can pay off in a year or less as an example. And on the other side are longer-term, or you guessed it, things that would take a year or longer to pay off on its own. So once you have all these together, you will add up numbers to get total on the liabilities. You can think about things such as credit cards, short-term medical bills, or anything else smaller that might have some financing over a couple months as an example. But on the longer-term side, you're going to have things such as your mortgage, if you have one, that is. You might have things such as a car loan who might, you know, have a couple of years on it, or anything else that is something that you owe over more than 1 year would go on the longer term side. Now, for a personal financial statement aspect, none of this has to be, you know, perfect in terms of the short term and longer term, but it's just good categories to think of so that you can organize your own liabilities. So like I said, once again, after you have all of these liabilities listed, short term and long term, you have the values at which are
going to be related to all those different line items. Add those up, and that will be your total liabilities. So coming back to this and looking at our net worth equation. So now that we have these two numbers, our total assets and our total liabilities, drum roll please, we have to go back to that super easy formula we talked about at the beginning and take our total assets and our total liabilities to see how much we have and worth financially. That is, if we sold everything and paid off everything that we owed, how much would we have left? So positive or negative net worth, what do you have here? If you have a positive net worth, congratulations. You have more things that you own and you have than you owe. You now have a personal financial statement together that you can continue to update and track over time, looking at ways that you can get more assets to continue to increase your net worth. And of course, on the other side, continue to decrease your liabilities as well. If you find that you have a negative net worth, congratulations as well. And I mean that seriously. You need to have this awareness, and there's really no need to be discouraged here. You know, as they say, knowing is half the battle, and that awareness is true here too. Knowing how to take the steps that you need to or get the help that you need to start moving in the direction of getting to the positive side and changing financial health and net worth is absolutely key here. Either way, there's always more to learn about how to leverage debt, deal making, etc., that can be done so that we can get what most of us want anyway, which is cash flow. So if you're listing these out on a spreadsheet or a Google sheet or whatever kind of sheet making these lists, you're probably thinking there's got to be some type of easier way here, right? I've started doing this on Excel, like I said, a couple years ago, on Google Sheets. That's where I started, of course, doing things cloud-based. But I was also using Mint at the same time back then as well. And, you know, if you've been tracking anything, you probably know that Mint.com has gone away, has turned into Credit Karma, which doesn't have the same functionality. Personally, I've gone and tried other tools such as YNAB, You Need a Budget. I've looked at some others like Personal Capital, as well as Rocket Money, which is what I've been experimenting with right now. I'm not going to, you know, advocate for anything in particular. You can absolutely do your own searches to see some of these different software for you to look at. And something that I've adopted from, I think it's Cody Sanchez, just doing a recurring basis is Financial Fridays, which is having a look at my own finances every Friday. You know, for me, it's like 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning before I start the rest of my day on Fridays. But the point is having a recurring meeting with myself to have a look at my finances and what I need to do. What is, you know, how does the budget look? How does the inflows, outflows? And of course, just having a look at that number around the net worth as well. So just some tools to have a look so that you don't have to do this all on spreadsheets. It is good to take a snapshot and have those data points, like I was talking about with your favorite monitoring tool as an example, have those data points over time. But again, software always helps. And it certainly helps to do it in a way where it can save us time, right? So use it. Use some tools that works for you and best so that you can keep track of this and get a pulse of it. So that's it. That's all I have for you today. This was going to be a quick and simple one, just understanding your personal financial statement, the reasons why it's so important to keep track of that net worth over time. Again, from the aspect of knowing what your own inflows and outflows are, from a net worth perspective, of course, how that relates to the budget as well. But also there are other things around as your net worth continues to increase, it will help you to, you know, have those conversations with if you ever want to be part of an active partnership team, you might have to lend your balance sheet as well. So you want to have that so that you can bring it and show your financial strength to those teams too. So if this helped you, please share it and let me know what you enjoyed. You can reach out to me at steven@aritacapital.com. It's going to be in the show notes, and please feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn as well. Also, if you have other topics that you would love to hear about, please let me know. I'll be happy to create an episode for that or bring on some guests. So leave a review on Apple or Spotify, or go ahead and drop a comment there on YouTube if you're listening there as well. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Path to Passive, and I will see you next time. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Path to Passive. We love connecting with our listeners and those on the path to architecting their wealth and improving their lives. Feel free to let us know what topics you'd like to see in future episodes. Get in touch with us through email or Instagram. See you next week for a new episode.